Proverbs chapter 4, the message I have that the Lord laid on my heart for today, my burden is towards all the young folks that are in here, the young people. Again, you know, you got a smaller church, you don't have a whole lot, but this is applicable to every person in here, just like every single thing in the Bible is. It's applicable to everybody. But I just, as I begin to study this and go through here, I was thinking specifically about some of our young folks. Some of the older folks are stuck in their ways. And some of the ways need to change, some don't. But some of them are stuck in their ways. But young people, they're still making decisions. And so this is the message God laid on my heart. And it's, again, applicable to everybody in here. So Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 5. I've been very grateful the Lord speaking to my heart going through the Attributes of God series, and I believe it's come to an end from whatever God had me doing in it, and I pray it was a blessing to the church. It was such a tremendous blessing to me going through there. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 5. The Bible says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Speaking of wisdom. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. I want to preach for just a few minutes this morning on the principal thing. The principal thing. The pursuit of wisdom needs to be the principal thing in the life of every child of God. It needs to be the chiefest thing. It needs to be the main thing. It needs to be the focused thing that we go after as a child of God, and that is wisdom. As a young person grows up, they are told what to believe, they are told what to do, and as they begin to mature and grow and get into younger teenage years and older teenage years, young adults, young married families and young married couples, there ought to be a time in that time frame where they begin to seek after some godly wisdom. Amen. Wisdom, the Bible says here, is the principal thing. That's what it told us here. Solomon wrote this book of Proverbs, and he wrote it through the inspiration of God, and he wrote it to his son, to a young man, and he warned him of all the things that were clamoring for his time, for his attention, trying to distract him. But during the midst of all those things, he was told not to neglect getting wisdom. And I'm afraid that we're living in a generation today in church. I'm not preaching to the lost. I'm not preaching to those that are outside of the church. I'm preaching to the church that there is a great neglect of trying to find God's wisdom in the life of a young person. As they begin to grow older, they begin to try to pray, hopefully, about what they're going to do with the rest of their life and about the skills and knowledge that they've already obtained and how are they going to add to that. And I just want to remind us this morning that God's not against an education. He's not against having a good job. But what He desires the most from us is that we would get wisdom from Him before and above anything else that we do. Because we could operate off of what we think we know and off of the schoolwork that we have and off of the skills that we've learned, and we can make decisions about our spouse and finances and money and try to make educated opinions and educated responses to everything in our life. But if you don't have the wisdom of God, you're not going to do it the right way, even though the world might think that it's right. So he said that the principal thing, the chiefest thing, the main thing that you ought to get as a young man or a young lady is wisdom from God. Now, I said this message is applicable to every person in here, and it's applicable to adults anywhere, because there are a lot of adults, middle-aged and even older, that do not have biblical wisdom. They may be very smart in certain areas of life. If you've lived a long time, you're going to have some life experience. There's no doubt about it. But there are people that are even older that do not have biblical wisdom. And biblical, godly wisdom will oftentimes, most of the time, go the opposite direction of worldly wisdom and of whatever you think might be right. There's a lot of different types and personalities in a local church. There's a bunch of different kind of folks. Amen. I thank God for it. If we were all the same, none of us would get along, because we can't even live with ourselves sometimes. There's many that are skilled in different various crafts. There's brilliant individuals, some not so much. There's some that are very good at the skills that they have, some that just get by in whatever skill they have. We all got different degrees of knowledge and degrees of skills, and there's nothing wrong with the skills and the knowledge and all those things, but I'm telling you that we ought to seek after godly, biblical wisdom. That ought to be what generates decisions that we make in our life and what guides us as we go through life. And a young person, if they do not seek after godly wisdom early, it's going to be a rough road. There's some that got saved later in life, and they wish that they had the biblical wisdom. They wish that they had the godly wisdom, because they made a mess of things. And when they made decisions, they thought it might have been the right one at the time, and they did the best they could. But if they were up here right now, I believe they would tell you, try to get some biblical, godly wisdom at a young age and follow that and follow after that. But the sad truth is that most people live their lives the way they want to, and they do not seek or pursue after biblical, godly wisdom. That is the wisdom that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the Encyclopedia Britannica. I'm not talking about Wikipedia. I'm not talking about a textbook. I'm not talking about an instruction manual. I'm talking about the very Word of God that He gave us, and He gave us very detailed instructions on how to live our life. When it comes to parenting, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to treating our spouse a certain way, when it comes to our temple, He gave us instructions on every bit of it. And He will guide you and lead you to a job or to other knowledge that you might need in this life. But here is the principal thing. The reason why we have daily Bible reading is because we want you to get in your Bible every day to see what God has to say before you see what anybody else has to say. And a young person should be encouraged to do your schoolwork and do a good job. But a wise parent, just like Solomon, will encourage their kid to learn a skill and will encourage them to do their schoolwork, but they will encourage them above all to have the wisdom of God and to get in God's Word and to seek after the principal thing. We can be so busy trying to achieve knowledge, trying to learn a skill, and trying to do all these other things that we neglect the principal thing. It amazes me that we get so busy at times in trying to do our work, which you ought to do a great job at, and trying to gain more knowledge, but we neglect the principal thing. The thing that will help you in all other areas of your life. And it does not need to be neglected. I'm going to quote several verses because I have a lot of material that I need to get through very quickly. So you write them down if you want any of the notes later. I'll give them to you. But the Bible said in Proverbs 8:4, "Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man." You know who's saying that? Wisdom. Wisdom is crying out And wisdom is crying out to the young person, crying out to men, crying out to young women. Wisdom is seeking. I'm thankful that God gives us everything that we need, and He comes looking for us. There's times we're not looking for Him, but I'm thankful that He comes looking for us. And I'm thankful that I have a Bible and God's wisdom that will seek me and search me out. Thank God that you're in a church, and I'm not saying this because I'm the pastor, but a church that stands on the Bible and has great teaching on music in the church and music in our home and teaching on the Holy Spirit of God and teaching on the foundational truths of the Word of God, because this is the wisdom we need for our life. We don't need to know how to do something just secular in this world out of the pulpit of a church. We need the wisdom of God and His Word. There's a lot of churches that'll get up and just give very generic instructions in life. We need the principal thing. And every person in here, regardless of your age, needs the principal thing. Needs to seek after the principal thing. The wisdom of God. The entire book of Proverbs is written to a young man, Solomon's son. The Bible clearly defines for us what wisdom is. And I'm going to look at this for a few minutes. But I want to say this, that all true wisdom comes from God. If it comes from God, it's absolute truth. Doesn't need to be questioned. I told the young people in Sunday school this morning, you might not always understand why. But if God says it, you just believe it. You just do it. And later, I promise you, later, God will reveal the why. God will reveal it years later. As a teenager, Brother Bobby, there was a lot of times that I did not understand why I wasn't allowed to do certain things. Why I wasn't allowed to go out with a girl by myself. Why I just didn't understand it. I heard it said that way, but I just didn't understand it. But I'm thankful, for the most part, I submitted to that. And the times I didn't, be sure your sins will find you out. And you will reap what you sow. But now that I am a father of a teenage daughter, and I've grown and met my wife and tried to do things God's way, I look back and say, you know what? Biblical wisdom is the way to go. And I'm thankful for parents that tried to lead me in that way. Biblical wisdom. All true wisdom comes from God. If it's from God's Word, you can take it to the bank. And everything on Facebook's true. But that's where people try to get their wisdom. Amen. I appreciate my dad the other day. I shot him and Brother Stephen a message about some ridiculous thing another church was doing. And it was so ridiculous. Dad's like, you can't believe everything on the internet. That was his response. So I sent him video proof of what I had said. But I know what he means. People can make up anything, and it'll get shared 1,000 times, and people will take it as gospel truth. You can't do that. But this book right here, young person, old person, amen. Sorry, Brother Bowen, didn't mean to be looking that direction when I said that. Brother Bobby, old person, is absolute truth. It's truth. Regardless of how we feel about it. Not everything in your textbook is true. They're updating it all the time. There was things I was taught, even in homeschool, that they've changed. This book doesn't ever change. God is the singular source for true wisdom. The world has always tried to produce a counterfeit and a pawn, a fake, a counterfeit of wisdom. But the Bible tells in 1 Corinthians 1:20 through 21, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And if you've been in the news at all, you know it is foolish. It's foolishness, the wisdom of this world. They have lost their mind. But we want them to tell us how to raise our children. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. In their best wisdom, they did not know God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Do you know why God chose this the method to get His word out? Because they don't understand it. They think it's absolute foolishness and craziness. But that's how God chose to get the message out. The world, by her wisdom, chose to exclude God. Evolution chooses to exclude God. Marriage today, if you can even use that word, their unions or whatever they're doing, they choose to exclude God. And that's why, as a young person, you need to choose and down in your heart determine that you're going to go after the principal thing, which is the wisdom that comes from God. The Word of God is that which was freely given to us of God. I'm thankful it's free, amen? That He gives it to us. The Holy Spirit of God, we heard about that at the men's meeting. It makes application to what God gives us in Scripture. God gave us His Word. He gave us His Holy Spirit to help teach us wisdom. That is God's plan for making His wisdom available to each and every one of us. I'm thankful for our Sunday school. That is the time we open God's Word and we get into more detail going through the verses and different subjects. And that's the way that God chose the local church, the preaching, the reading of God's Word, and the Holy Spirit to get wisdom. A teenager, when they turn 15 years old, is not all of a sudden a 50-year-old man with a lot of wisdom. They think they are. They think they know better than their parents. They think that they've got it. I mean, by 14 years old, I got one. Got it all figured out. I mean, enough wisdom, more wisdom than mom and dad, more wisdom than our grandparents, more wisdom than the priest. We've got it all figured out. But I'm telling you that you don't have anything figured out until you get with God. And you seek the principal thing. And I want to encourage you, young people in here, you'll say, well, I just cannot have that wisdom. It's unattainable until I become older, until I'm married, until I've got some life experience. And I want to tell you right now that you, as a child, can have wisdom. The Bible says of the teenage Christ, tells us a very little bit about the pre-teen years of Christ. He was 12 years old. It said that he increased in wisdom. I have met some young people. We've been doing camps for years. I've met young people, Brother Jeff, that kid had some wisdom. He had more wisdom than a lot of adults. Not experience. But he had a walk with God. He had some discernment, some wisdom that was beyond their years. Have you ever heard that of a young person? They have wisdom beyond their years. That's a compliment to their relationship with this book, with God, with the Holy Spirit. I know a lot of people that are beyond their years with no wisdom, no discernment. And young person, today you can have this wisdom I'm preaching about. You can have it. Man and women alike, they react in three different ways to God's plan of receiving wisdom. And this is what I want to preach about for just a moment this morning. And then I'm probably going to pick it back up next week, Lord willing, if that's what the Lord has for us. Three different responses to God's plan for getting you wisdom. And those three things are found all in Proverbs. It's the simple man, the foolish man, and the wise man. And just for a minute, I'm going to talk about those three things. I'm going to preach more about wisdom, Lord willing, next week. And how to get wisdom. The Bible tells us, hey, I'm thankful it tells us how to do it. Amen? It doesn't just tell you to have it and then not tell you how to do it. It tells us how to do it. And we're going to look at that next week, Lord willing. But I want to look at the three individuals for just a moment, the three main characters of the book of Proverbs when it comes to receiving wisdom. Thank God for the church. Thank God for our Bible, our Sunday school teachers, our parents, our grandparents, those individuals that have influenced in our life that have helped to impart wisdom to us. But every person in here is going to fall under one or three categories every church service and every Sunday school. The men's meeting, Brother Carl, all three of these individuals were at our men's meeting. Every one of them. There was the simple man, the foolish man, and the wise man. These three will help us define wisdom in application to ourselves, and we will find ourselves in one of these three. And there was times growing up where I have been each of these three. I was one of the three. I have been all of the three. And here's the three things, and I'll be done this morning. The first one is the simple. The simple one. This is the individual who is ignorant of the teachings of God. They don't know better. They're ignorant of it. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. They don't know any better. We've had folks come to our church that have not been saved long. Some of them that have been. But they've never been taught the Scriptures. They've never sought after wisdom. They didn't have parents that sat them down and told them about the Word of God and what pleases and displeases God. They never got instructions. They were not in Sunday school and to learn more about the Word of God. They weren't sitting under the preaching. They just didn't have it. They were ignorant of it. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying they don't know. We have people come to our church sometimes. Even recently, they just don't know better. I've had some of the young people come up to me and said, hey, can you believe what so-and-so's doing? What they're doing out in the parking lot? They don't know better yet. They have not been taught. Now, if there's somebody in the church that has been here for going on the 9 years that we've been here, and they're doing the same thing in the parking lot, then I'm going to go have a talk with them. Amen? They just don't know better. They got to learn. They're ignorant of the teaching of God's Word. There are many people today, more than ever probably, that were not raised in church. They don't know any better. Even saved people. Say, man, I can't believe they did that. Maybe they've never been taught. Maybe nobody's ever opened the Word of God. Maybe they didn't come to Sunday school and learn about that great Bible doctrine that we practice as a church. They just don't know any better. They've never been constantly exposed to the principles of God's Word. They are ignorant of what God has given them through His Word. They just don't know better. Look at Proverbs chapter 7. Are y'all still with me? Yes. Proverbs chapter 7. We're talking about the principal thing. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse number 6. Notice what is being observed here for Solomon's son. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse number 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the what? The simple ones. I discerned among the youths a man void of what? He didn't know any better. He just somebody just didn't know any better. And when you first got saved and got in church, you didn't know any better. Now, some of us that went to church 9 months before they were born, I've always been in church. I've never not known church. I haven't. Grew up in church. I thank God for it. And up until a certain age, Miles, I was told the wisdom from God's Word, and I was made to obey it and follow after it. But Elijah, there was a time in my life as a young teenager that I began to have to seek after wisdom myself. At one point, I didn't understand it. I was a simple one. I was ignorant of God's teaching. Even as a teenager, man, I mean, if I could take this Bible and open up Elijah's brain and dump the entire thing in there so that he would get it, I would do it. I'd do it to every one of you. But I can't. And what I mean by that is, time goes by very quickly. And if you're only in church one day a week, if you only go to one service a week, whatever the case might be, that's a very limited time for God to impart wisdom unto you. And so you go to church and revivals and youth camps. And what I'm getting at is I couldn't get everything that I needed during those years. I keep growing. We all keep growing every day in the Scriptures and the Lord. And even when I was that young person there, I didn't quite get it all. I fell in the category of somebody that was ignorant of the teaching of God. But there came a time where I saw it in the Scripture. I heard the preaching, and now I am no longer ignorant. Now I know. What am I going to do with it? And that brings us to the second individual and the second response to receiving wisdom. You have the simple one. And second of all, you have the foolish one. The foolish is any person who is taught the principles of God's word and just says no. The foolish is somebody that knows what God said, knows what He teaches, and just rejects it. Again, I said I found myself in all three of these, and they're have been times in my life, even as a teenager, that I rejected what I was taught and just said, I see it, I know what it says, but I'm going to do what I want to do. And every church has one of these three people sitting in it at all times, unless it's a church of two. Then you just have two of them. And I'm afraid that we don't have that many simple sitting here because we're not bringing people to church. We're not bringing lost people to church. We're not bringing new Christians to church. So sometimes we'll have some of these simple, and we pray they grow up quickly. Amen. Spiritual growth. But I am afraid that too many times we have the foolish person sitting in church that knows better. They were taught better. They were given instruction. They were given wisdom from God's word. Not worldly wisdom, not opinions, the word of God, which is truth. But they chose to say, I'm going to do it my way. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. These are the people who sit under the teaching of the Bible. Maybe they have been in Sunday school, grew up in Sunday school. Maybe they do attend all the church services. They're there. They're not ignorant of the teaching of God. They're not ignorant of what the Bible says. But they just choose to ignore it and reject it. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Does not say that the fool is ignorant. Do you see that there? Well, preacher, they just don't know better. Yes, they do. Every one of my kids are old enough now, including the youngest Emma, to know better. Daddy, I just didn't know. Yes, you did. We've been doing this for 8 years of your life. We've been teaching you these things. You knew better. And church members, we should know better. Fools despise. It means you hear it, you know it, you maybe even understand it. But you just despise it. You don't want to think about it. The Bible says you're a foolish person. How many people, again, in this room, even right now, would stand up as an older person and say, young people, please, 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 please follow after God. Please follow after Him. Please gain all the wisdom you can of God's Word. Don't make the same decisions I did. They're not ignorant of the teachings of God. They just choose to ignore them. Look at Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. I'm going to preach next week. I'm not going to get ahead of myself about how to get wisdom. But you can't continue to gain in wisdom and not be faithful to church. Not be faithful. That is the way God chose. One of the ways He chose to impart wisdom in our life is faithfulness. Sunday school, Sunday morning, whenever we got the doors open. Revivals, camp meetings. Amen? And falling under the foolish category is when you choose to neglect being faithful to the house of God. You fall under that category. I've known many of families over the years. Some of you have been in church a long time. You've seen families that neglected to be faithful in the house of God, to neglect their youth the opportunity to get wisdom from preaching. They've decided to make, and they've made other decisions, and to today they regret that they were not more faithful, because that is the way that God chooses to impart wisdom unto us. We do it through the reading of God's Word, but He also tells us that it's the foolishness of preaching. It's the teaching of God's Word. We submit ourselves to that, and then God imparts wisdom unto us. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 2. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. A fool is going to do what they're going to do, and they don't care what the Bible says. And this brings us to our last individual, the wise. The wise is any person who is taught the principles of God's Word and just believes it and applies it. That is a wise individual. You might have book smarts and internet smarts and a skill that you're smart at, but I'm telling you, the Bible calls a man wise is one that seeks after the principal thing. And you know, when you seek after this with all your heart, the wisdom of God, then every other aspect in your life, God will give you wisdom and discernment. He'll make it applicable to whatever you do in your life. This person, the wise person, that's the person who listens during church. The one that's not daydreaming the entire service. It's the one that's listening. It's the one that is paying attention and asking God throughout the message, how can I apply this to my life and heart? You may hear things preached sometimes and say, I don't know how that applies to me. Ask God how it applies to you. It's going to apply to Elijah different than it's going to apply to Brother Carl. But you ask God, how can this apply to me? This person believes that wisdom is valuable. He or she appreciates the wisdom of God and what is preached and what is taught. They appreciate it. They say, thank you, Lord, for helping me with this. Thank you for showing me that I was messing up. Thank you for helping me before I messed up everything. Thank you for convicting me. Thank you for helping me. They believe that wisdom is valuable. They take to heart everything that's preached and taught. They just take it. You understand that when I get up here, preacher, any other preacher, we're going to stand before God and give an account for everything we say. And you're going to give an account for how you receive it. If I lead you wrong, God will take care of me. I promise He'll take care of me. But one of the reasons you need to read your Bible every day and study your Bible is so the Holy Spirit can speak to you. And if there's ever anything I say, the Bible said in the multitudes of words, there wanteth not sin. You know what that means? Every preacher sins sometimes when they're talking. Sometimes you say the wrong things. But if you've got your Bible and you're paying attention, you say, well, he misspoke there. Amen. I'm not saying you have to come tell me about it all the time. Some do, and that helps me. This wise person is willing to adjust their behavior and opinion based off the wisdom of God's word that they've been given. The wise person is willing to say, I'm wrong about this. My attitude towards this is not right. And God, would you forgive me and help me to be in tune with your word? Look at Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. When a wise man gets instruction, he's going to gain some knowledge. When a fool is given instruction, the Bible says what? He despises it. Despises it. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 33. Last verse we'll turn to. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 33. I pray this is helpful. And again, applicable to everybody in here. I don't care what age you are. We need to seek after the principal thing. If you've done the same thing 100 times because you feel like that's what God told you to, the 101st time, you need to ask God if that's what you need to do again. You need to pray about it again. Lord, is this what you told me to do last time? Is this what pleases you still? Amen? We don't just operate in our wisdom like, oh, this is how I've always done it. We pray and ask God to help us. But young person in here today, I'm pleading with you to seek after the principal thing. Seek after wisdom. And I'm going to tell you how to get it next week. Unless we're in heaven, then we'll have it. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 33. Hear instruction and be what?
Wise.
Be wise. And refuse it not. Young person in here today, again, anybody, when you hear instruction, just receive it. Be wise. Don't be a dummy. Don't be a fool. That's the Bible word, a fool. Don't be that person. And you can't play the card anymore that I didn't know. You can't play the I'm a simple one. You can act like that on the outside, but once you've heard the instruction, receive it and be wise. On any given Sunday, Brother Carl, on any given Sunday school, Brother Stephen, whoever's teaching, any given day, we could have all three people sitting in the class. We could have all three sitting next to each other in a church service. A person could be visiting a church for the very first time, and they do not know. Up to this point, they've had little or no Bible instruction. They are very simple. And sitting right next to that person could be somebody who's attended church for years. They were made to go as a child, and as they become older, they have to make a decision. Maybe their spouse makes them come. We've had people that have come to church only because their spouse was coming. But they sit there and daydream the entire message. They have their mind running wide open. They do not open their heart and mind to hear what the Bible said. And most of the time, when the message starts, they already have their mind made up that they're going to ignore this. Oh, this is the subject today. Well, I've heard this before. I'm done. And they may come sit there every Sunday. The Bible says that person is foolish. And sitting right next to them too could be that person who faithfully attends church. They've been taught the Word of God, maybe by their parents, grandparents, maybe by their pastor, maybe by their Sunday school teacher, maybe a godly person in their life has instructed them in the ways of God. But when they come into church, they come in looking forward to what God is going to give them. They come in excited about what the Lord might have in store for us today. They come in ready to receive whatever it is. Say, I don't like it. This wise person, even though they don't like it, even though they don't understand it all together, they're ready to receive it. And they're ready to say, God, whatever you have for me, I'm opening my heart and mind, and would you help me? This is that wise person. They want to know what the Bible says. When they hear instructions from God's Word, when it comes to their relationships, when it comes to their heart, when it comes to their attitude, whatever, when they hear it, even if they don't like it, they say, Lord, thank you for helping me with this. They do not despise it. They don't roll their eyes. They don't say, really? They say, Lord, I didn't know I was supposed to be doing this, and I'm sorry, God. Would you help me do this better? To the wise individual, godly instruction and Bible preaching. God chose the foolishness of preaching. We have teaching, we have preaching. They both have their purpose. But God chose that to give us wisdom. And to the wise individual, that is valuable. That's valuable. They treasure it. The wise person, what they're going to do, they're going to get up in the morning and pray for their Sunday school teacher and their pastor. They're going to get them, pray for them and say, Lord, would you please give them what I need today? They're going to get up in the morning before they read their Bible and say, Holy Spirit of God, would you please guide me and teach me something today? That's the wise person. You know what the fool's going to do? They're going to leave their Bible closed and ignore it throughout the week. They may open it for the message that morning, but they'll never turn to another passage, and they don't pay attention to anything that's going on. One of the most dangerous things you could ever do is say to yourself, I've heard this before. We read our Bible every year. I've heard those stories over and over. I've heard the story of David and Bathsheba, Brother Bowen, I can't tell you how many times, because I've heard it preached and I've read about it, and we just read about it when? This morning. I've heard that story before, but I keep reading it, and guess what God did for me this morning? Oh, I didn't see that before. You can hear a message preached over and over and over and over again, and God give you something different every single time. If that's what God told the preacher to do, you're like, I don't get this. I don't know why we're going through all these attributes, or I don't know why we're preaching on this for so long. Maybe God just told the pastor to do it. It might be just because he wanted you to endure tribulation for 7 weeks. And maybe nobody got nothing out of it, but God told the pastor to do that just because it aggravates you. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is. I personally would like to be an individual that God would consider wise. Not that I call myself that, but that God would say he's a wise son or he's a wise daughter. Wisdom is the ability and willingness to base all of our thoughts, actions, and decisions on the principles of God's Word. That is what wisdom is. As we study the simple, the foolish, and the wise, we get our definition of what wisdom is. And that's where we'll open up the message, Lord willing, next week. The foolish have the ability, but not the willingness. Their head contains the knowledge, but they have a rebellious heart. The wise has both the ability and the willingness to live according to the precept of God's Word. They have invested the time to learn what God wants from them and has a heart that longs to obey and please the Lord no matter what. That's the wise. And young people, I am pleading with you as your pastor and as somebody that loves you, Seek after wisdom. Be a wise young person.